sweet Susie.
Welcome to the Fangamer podcast, where every week we give you a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to work for Fangamer, updates on our new products and other geeky things we happen to be up to, and step back with us for a moment to reflect on why we love and play video games. This week's topic is tips and tricks for conventions, how best to get the most for your money from our experiences at various gaming conventions. We were at PAX East just a couple... Actually, that was quite a while ago now, but I've been to a couple conventions besides PAX. I think we got some people on the show who have some definitely great travel tips for you, so we'll go through that. But let's get it straight into who our guests are today. As usual, my co-host, partner in crime, Liz, is here. Thanks for joining us again, Liz, as always.
I'm here. Where else would I be? You know?
Well,
I show up.
Once school starts again, you're going to be student Liz as opposed to bum Liz.
Do you want to know what my schedule is, Garrett?
Because I got awesome. Is it like Monday, go to school for an hour, Tuesday, go to school for 3 hours, Wednesday, 1 hour, Thursday, 3 hours, and then Friday, nothing?
Yeah, that's about it. It's Mondays and Wednesdays, I think it's 10 to 10 to like 1. And
ooh,
then
tough.
Tuesdays...
Is there an hour lunch break in there?
Actually, there's not, no.
Okay, that's pretty
but
tough.
But Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's like 10 to 3 with an hour and a half lunch or something. And then Friday's off.
There you go.
Friday. But I also work 12 hours for a graduate assistancy thing, which has a very technical name, assistantship, but the word sounds weird in my mouth. Like I'm eating marbles while I say assistantship.
That is a weird word. Right, okay. Yeah. But Silent in the background, new to the podcast, never been on before except for on the one where he was on with the group. Paul Fishsticks, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, nice to be here from hotel room and location undisclosed.
So I thought you were. So you're going to have lots of good travel tips for people. How much of the year do you spend traveling?
About 2 to 3 weeks a month on average, but there's been some times when I've just, my record is 7 straight weeks with 8 trips on it.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's got to be pretty tough. So, okay, well, we'll get into some more tips from you. And introducing... long-time podcast contributor. I think this might be the first time I've had him in the podcast in a long time. Charlie the Losar. Welcome back, Charlie. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Garrett.
So we were all hoping tonight that we could dump from your head the many experiences you had recently at, what was it, Nerdapalooza,
right? Weird way to phrase it.
Thanks, Liz. I appreciate your constructive criticism during the middle of the podcast.
You know what, Garrett? I think we should let people, like, it's a flow. We're having a conversation. Not everything's got to be scripted. We got to be like...
That wasn't scripted either. I really did want to know about Nerdapalooza.
You wanted to have his head take a big dump of knowledge all over you.
That's
or
way,
however you phrased it.
Hot, hot dump of knowledge.
Go
perhaps
on.
We'll have a gradual dump of knowledge over the course of this podcast. Perhaps not all at once.
I'm prepared
for that.
Good times. All right. Well, now that we've gone through some really embarrassing we're going to bring back an old favorite since we have some new people or relatively new people to the podcast. We're going to do ask a question and get an answer instead of what games we've been playing since, again, we don't probably play that many new games here for it to be interesting enough to do every week. But so this is a segment where it helps people kind of get to know who's on the podcast. Well, actually, it's not a bad idea. We should just do brief intros for Charlie and Paul. So, Charlie, tell people your forum name, what you do with Fangamer, yada, yada, yada.
Well, my forum name is The Lozar, and I help run certain social networking things that Liz does not, and just get to know...
That sounds so shady.
Yeah.
I like it.
I pick up her Slack. Oh. Even though it's kind of not really that well.
My Slack?
Yeah, no.
I run the busy world.
Because you're definitely... comes out.
you definitely... Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah, back down.
is winning. I'm just gonna slink off with my tail between my legs. Anyway, and what else do I do?
How long have you been with Starman.net? When did you first join the forums?
I joined, I believe it must have been 1999 because I think it was still Earthbound.net at the time.
There you go, super old bees. That's all we bring to the show, it seems. Let's see what else is our other good questions. Oh, what is the meaning of your forum name?
That basically is me doing a lame comeback to somebody trying to call me a loser but misspelling it. And so I created I redefined the name, the word Lozar, because it didn't have a definition. So, and afterwards it just kind of stuck because it sounded self-defacing, and that's always a cool thing to be, I suppose. So I just kind of held on to it.
So you basically copyrighted your own word in the process.
Yes and no. It turns out the Lozar actually does exist.
Oh, no.
It's a Buddhist holiday for the day that he ascended to Nirvana.
Oh, so, well, there you go.
Well, so
it is.
I don't actually mind that connection, honestly. So,
well, there you go.
Let it be.
Enlightenment on the way. Okay. I see. Paul, tell us forum name, how long you've been at the site, your involvement with Fangamer.
Okay, well, forum name's Fish Sticks. I have I first started reading the site in fall of 2002, so not quite as long as some of you, but I first started posting in probably early 2003. Let's see, what else? I made this thing called EBDB back in the day, and then pretty much did Jack Squat after that.
But that was pretty epic, if I remember. I remember that. Like, not everything, unfortunately, people come on the show and reference, I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about, but I remember the Earthbound database. That thing was pretty epic. Was it still up running? Like, can I go to the website right now?
I think it is, but I honestly haven't, like, touched it in a few years, so I'm checking now.
It's like when you go back to Nintendogs and hope your dogs aren't all just dead on the ground.
It looks like it's
still
here.
Well, it's still got
here.
A link on the front page.
Oh.
EBDB index.
Yep. It's... still appears to be up.
Wow, and what was your original inspiration to build the Earthbound database?
Yeah, mostly I was just screwing around with like PHP and databases and stuff in college, and I'm like, well, that's something the site was missing. So I made it on my own website and then posted it on the forum somewhere, and I think like Reed or someone saw it and said, hey, you want to put it on the actual site? Or I'm probably misremembering, but somehow it ended up on the actual site.
Mm-hmm. It's just so much more convenient than all the like the game FAQs style, walkthroughs.
Wow.
So what I really like though is it's frozen in time. If you go back to like the old site Starman.net, like it's the link of the week or month or whatever.
You'll always be the link of the week, month in our hearts, is what he's trying to say. Wow, look at this. This is pretty thorough. I mean, if I go through here, I can see what are Mighty Bear 7's strengths and weaknesses. He's got a 10% chance of success with brain shock, paralysis. I was a big fan of paralysis on the Mighty Bears. Those guys are pretty rough.
I didn't know you could paralyze them.
Well, you didn't have a high chance of success, 10%. Flash was a lot better chance there, 50%.
I never used any of the debilitating psychic powers. I just went in and hit stuff. I was really
You're just PSI freeze over and over, right?
No, I was just like, just bash everything. It was the simplest button press. I wasn't going to navigate menus.
Do that too.
With your Neapala frying pan.
Mm-hmm. I did actually go, for Paula at least, I would use the PSI, but you know, everything else, bash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else, Paul. Oh, how did you get involved with Fangamer?
As far as separate from Starman.net, you mean?
Yeah.
I just kind of followed them to Fangamer.
You just hooked your wagon on and just went along for the ride.
You're like one of those male fish that, like, by mating with a female one, just clings to its underbelly and, like, takes nutrients from it for its entire life.
So you're saying I've mated with Starman.net?
Yeah. Why not? There's eggs everywhere. It's great.
Oh, man.
Anglefish style.
This is hot.
Is that what it is, anglefish?
I believe so.
I just watched a Beneath the Sea episode on Discovery Planet or something about that. So, but, or Discovery Channel. I'm not very well informed on that either.
The more you know. All right. Yeah. Well, that was fun. Now that we've gotten to really know each other, let's get really nitty gritty and play. Ask a question, get an answer. I have a question prepared, so I am going to go first. But while I'm asking and other people are answering, make sure you guys think of a good question for everyone. And if you want, you can have different questions for different people. It's a little more difficult that way, I find, but it's up to you.
Especially so, for people.
So today's question that I have for everyone, I've been watching a lot of Netflix. I just finished up watching Avatar, The Last Airbender, the whole series. So my question to you, I'll start with Charlie. What is your favorite, one of your favorite television series?
Like ever?
One of your favorites.
Okay. Oh, man.
So it doesn't have to be your absolute favorite. Hopefully that makes it a little easier.
Okay, let's go with that. I would have to say Freakazoid.
Freakazoid?
Freakazoid.
Yes.
Oh, man. It's coming out of nowhere.
Man, why Freakazoid?
I am always surprised that just – I like slapstick to a certain degree, but not that long ago, actually, I watched an episode of Freakazoid just because it was there. And I was incredibly surprised at how well it's held up just over time. Like, it's still relevant and funny to me as a 24-year-old that goes on the internet all the time.
The timeless nature for the internet nerd, basically, of Freakazoid. Okay, that's good. All right, Paul, you ready? Favorite television series, what do you got?
Well, the one that I was most obsessed about, I would be surprised if any of you heard about. I lived in England from when I was 7 years old to when I was 10 years old, and back then I was obsessed with this TV show they had on Channel 4 called The Crystal Maze, which was like a game show type, almost Legends of the Hidden Temple for adults type show.
It sounded like I was going to ask.
For adults?
Crystal, I mean, it was that kind of, like, where you had, I think, you had, like, a team, and they had to, like, go through different zones competing to earn, like, these crystals. And then at the end of the game, if you had more crystals, you got more time in this almost money booth-like thing where it had gold.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of this super dome they have here, like, online. Did they have temple guards, though, is the real question. Did they have
I don't think so.
It
probably wasn't very good, but I was, like, absolutely obsessed with it back in the day. Like, I had a little, like, Fisher-Price tape recorder, and I held it up to, like, the TV's microphone to record it. Audio, like...
Oh, man, I did that with Ghost Rider. How funny. I'm not the only one who nerded out that hardcore about a television show. Wow. Okay. I was not expecting The Crystal Maze. All right, Liz, what do you got? Favorite TV series?
I feel like I had one in my head that I really liked, but I can't remember what it was.
You were just stunned by The Crystal Maze.
I was thinking I couldn't decide whether or not to make the joke that the version that we have in America is the Crystal Meth Maze, where you live in Albuquerque and they film it.
Oh.
Yeah, I lived in Terre Haute, Indiana. We had about the same problems.
Yeah, that's the real Crystal Meth Maze. I can't remember what I would have said. So
The Wire.
The Wire I've been over, but I'll go with another HBO one and say I also really like 6 Feet Under quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful series.
It's a heavy show.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like me and you like to watch like an entire series at a time, you might. That's one of the ones I'd suggest, you know, putting in something really lighthearted in between.
Yeah.
Some of those series, entire seasons are downer after downer after downer.
And it's one of those things where, like, I'm almost reluctant to bring it up because I'd say I wouldn't want younger people who listen to the podcast to go out and watch it. But I actually started watching that show, I think I was 13 when came out. So I started, my whole family every Sunday sat down and watched 6 Feet Under together. My parents, their 15-year-old and their 13-year-old, we watched 6 Feet Under every Sunday when it came on for 5 years.
Wow. I mean, it was a great television show. I mean,
it
really
gave
an interesting perspective on...
We're a weird family, by the way.
On death and coping with it in life, too. So, and it really did a lot of kind of groundbreaking things throughout its series of... a lot of stuff. So, I actually have the full series. When you buy the box set,
the grass on top?
The box comes a little grass on top. Jen got it for me for like a Christmas present. Okay. Well, that was my questions. Let's see. At random here, let's do Paul. What is your question for the group? And whoever you'd like to address first, go ahead.
Well, the question's for Same question for everyone. I don't particularly care who answers first, but I'd like to know, what is the least interesting place you've visited in the last year?
Okay. Oh. Anyone got a really good response off the top of their head?
Like, not home?
I mean, it could be home if you want.
Well, Charlie. I said visited, so.
Yeah.
Home doesn't count.
Where did I get stuck on the way to Gatlinburg with Casey and Dan for an hour? I think it was Louisville. Oh, I know where. You know what? I know exactly where the least interesting place I've visited in my entire life would be, actually. And that would be the Knoxville Sun Sphere, which is a real piece of crap just sitting right up there in the sky.
And can you describe what the Knoxville Sun Sphere is to the people who have not had the honor of seeing it in person?
Or having seen the Simpsons episode where it's a wing storage venue. But the Knoxville Sun Sphere was put into place in, I guess, the mid-1980s for the last World's Fair that was ever in the United States. It's a... I can't tell. I don't know. It's like 200-some feet high, just like this green metal tower that has a big gold ball on the top.
It's like a big microphone.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a snowball microphone. That's what I was just thinking, actually.
The
Thunder Tower. It's got about 8 floors you ride up on the elevator, and it takes about 2 minutes per floor, so it's like a 5-minute or 5 or 10 minute elevator ride.
And how much does it cost to go up that elevator?
Absolutely nothing, which is just what it's worth.
Wow.
There's a sign on the elevator that says, if you jump here, the elevator will stop and you will be fined and maybe arrested.
You want to go up the Space Needle? I think it's at least $20 to go up.
Oh, no. The Knoxville Sun Sphere. You go up and it's just little plaques talking about how great the World's Fair was, like, despite the fact that we've never had one again.
Yeah, at least the Seattle Space Needle has a restaurant at the top, so
yeah,
it's got that going for it.
Yeah, it's got a good view, and the Sun Sphere just has a view of, like, kind of the decrepit campgrounds that were once the World's Fair. It's not...
If only it had 2 little, like, wheat silos to the side of it, it would be the Doncropolis for real, though. Not just on a shirt. That'd be awesome.
One can only hope.
All right. Let's see. Charlie, what do you got for most boring place you've visited?
I am thoroughly scouring my brain for through all the places. I'm like, no, there's been at least something interesting I've seen everywhere.
Maybe you're too Maybe I just have really... Full.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I'm a little too easily. My bar is very low, and I mean,
haven't you been to like a rest stop in the past year?
Oh man, rest stops are every time I'm looking for a rest stop and I'm noticing them. They are like, they are the place I want to be.
Panda
Express. Not even.
I'm just like, oh man, it's a nap. Oh man, I can't wait.
yeah, super excited about it. Well, okay, I'll go real quick then. I think one of the most boring places that I have ever been is where I actually was born but did not live there. It was Hemet, California. And it is one of the most – and if you live there, I'm sorry. And I think we both understand why that you're not taking offense to this right now. At least when I was there last, which is at least 4 or 5 years ago, it's basically the equivalent of like a Florida retirement community but out in the middle of the freaking desert in California. But it's in kind of a little bit higher altitude, not really high, but just enough so it's kind of annoying. It doesn't get any really fun California weather. It gets all the worst, so really dry, hot, or humid, hot. It's just the worst of everything, and there's just nothing there. Just some hills. It's really cheap cost of living, and lots of banks. A ridiculous amount of banks. And I remember we'd always go there to visit my grandparents, because that's where they lived, and... never having any fun in the town. My grandparents were great, but always wishing we could go to like Disneyland or somewhere else cool in California. And yeah, Hemet, not a good time.
You are judging Sarah Palin's Real America when you talk about that in such a negative light. I want you to know.
I mean, maybe they've got a TCBY there now, or maybe a Jamba Juice.
They only have 15 flavors there, or that's Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's improved. They've got a Walmart now, some movie theaters, but I still don't necessarily see those. I mean, they don't have a Sun Dome. In my opinion, if your place doesn't have a Sun Dome, I don't know what our Sun Sphere. They'd have to call it a Sun Dome, because there's already a Sun Sphere.
Yeah. By the way, welcome to the... I didn't know you were also a member of the English Major Born in California Club, so small high five.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay, there's a tip for the people who have been listening, and they're like, we know everything about listening.
Yeah.
Now they know more.
Be born there and get out. There's a tip.
All right, let's see. Who's turn for asking the question? Charlie, what do you got? What's your question?
Have you guys seen Scott Pilgrim yet? And if you did not, why not?
Oh, I have not. I've actually been reading the comic. I'm on volume 5 right now, and I am loving every page. It's great. And I've been playing the game, too. I actually played the game first because Onomatoguchi, I really like the soundtrack. But it's really good. I think the quote on the back of this is one of the few quotes I'll be like, yeah, I very much agree with that. Oh, I don't have the right volume that has the good quote, but it's something like, captures the essence of a generation, you know, like very World War II, but of, you know.
Ew, really? That's our World War II?
Of computer nerds, and there's just some fun lines where he's
Slackers
like,
and, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, there's like a light shining in the corner, and he's like, what's that light about? And they're all like, oh, it's a save point, probably. He's like, really? Should I go use it? Is something bad about to happen? And they're like, yeah, you should. If you see a save point, you should probably go use it. Anyway, I was like, man, I wish I could make that actual joke to my friends in real life, but then I would get completely ostracized. So, okay.
Well, then maybe you have the wrong friends.
Exactly, yeah. Paul. Paul, have you seen Scott Pilgrim?
I actually saw it Saturday night, so two nights ago, as of our recording.
Was it wonderful?
It was pretty amazing, although that may have helped by the fact that it was also like an 11:40 showing, so I was probably pretty tired through it.
You get a little loopy, and it's more fun.
Yeah.
Good times. Liz?
Yeah?
You seen it?
Nah. How'd you know? I don't know. I'm sure it's a very good movie, and I probably will see it at some point, but... I don't know. I gave the comics a try. They didn't really move me. I found that it was almost like the comics were written by just a big focus group of people in their mid-20s who were like, I love Zelda. Let's put a Zelda reference in here. Wow, I'm vegan too. Hey, you wear a scarf? Let's put that in there. Like, I don't know. It seemed like it was pandering to like the lowest gamer denominator. That's a crap on everyone's dreams.
I think you're too close to the source material, if you ask me. I think this is, too many of these references, you live and breathe every day in your forum life. This is the downside of being a forum administrator, Liz.
I don't really do that much administrative work.
What,
to
did
be
you
honest.
Just tell me the other day you were administrating someone's inappropriate forum name?
Yeah.
You were working hard.
Pianist. Great name change.
Oh, that's his name now. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's his name now, yeah.
You got your answer, Liz, or Charlie, of why Liz is not.
I'll probably
seen it
see
yet.
It and I'll probably enjoy it, but I don't know.
Probably enjoy it, maybe. No,
can
no
anyone
promises.
Answer me? Like, I've been told that, I don't know, I've been on a little bit of a feminist bent lately, in my head anyway, is like, are the girls in that movie really, like, kind of cookie cutter where they don't really get any development at all and they're just kind of there for Scott to kind of just bounce his little thoughts off of and fall in love with? Or are they better than that? Because I've heard some of the negative reviews saying, like, Ramona doesn't really do anything. Like, in the comics, she's apparently more fleshed out, but in the movie, it's like, eh.
Yeah, a little bit. I can say that. I think if there's any development within the girls, it's more subtle. But then again, they're not the main character.
True. So
it isn't Ramona never versus are. The world. It's Scott
yeah, like,
Pilgrim.
Pretty much anybody except Scott doesn't really get a whole lot of development, so...
That, you know what? That's fair enough. I'll take that nobody gets development. All right. Fair.
As long as Aaron Sorkin didn't co-write it, it'll be okay. You'll probably see it.
Yeah, the only women in the show are the secretaries of the different... Scott Pilgrim's an alcoholic, and his secretary's like, no, Johnny Walker Blue Label, put that down.
Liz, what's your question for everyone?
I have been trying to get back doing a fair amount of reading lately, and I was kind of wondering, you guys, what were your favorite books when you were younger? I assume you all read at some point and then got into computers and dropped out of it, like our entire generation.
Well, that's a good one. What do you got, Charlie? I feel like you're the kind of guy who still reads. Am I right?
I certainly do. It all started whenever my mom went to the library and came back in the book in the car with this humongous book, and I just kind of stared at it. It was a Star Wars book called I, Jedi, and it just looked so big. I was like, "You really expect me to read this?" And she's like, "It's Star Wars. I thought you would like it." So I read it, and I loved it. And I never put down a novel since. Wow. So that pretty much started me off. And then I got into stuff like Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman and all their fantasy stuff and moved on to bigger and better and lesser and worse and wherever it would take me.
That's funny you mentioned, like, I still remember that moment too of like when you went from reading like a picture book to a thick book with no pictures, and you were like, oh man, I am so adult now, and you felt like you should walk around and reading my adult book now.
No, see, I see pictures in my mind instead of on the page now. That means I'm a step above.
But see, I can one up that though. Like, I was, you know, reading was always like one of my strong things. I was reading well before I was in kindergarten, and so, like, you know, when I was in first or second grade, I was reading, you know, pretty big thick books. So of course, you know, I was like, class was really boring for me for that reason, because, you know, all the reading material, like you said, it's all like the picture books and stuff.
We're all nerds online. We've all got that same story.
Right. Yes. So I decided to keep things interesting. I decided to teach myself to read upside down.
Wow. Not every kid has that story.
So I, you know, my teacher got used to it pretty quickly. I'm just like going through class holding all the textbooks upside down. We get a substitute teacher one day.
Who oh no!
Sees me reading upside down, subsequently like sends me to the principal and like saying like there's a student in her second grade class who doesn't know how to read because he was holding the book upside down, and he kept calling my parents.
How many times did that happen?
It only happened once.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say that would be really.
One's
sad.
All you need.
Yeah, we'll say.
I mean, I can totally read upside down. I never made a show of it.
Yeah.
I like through the entirety of second grade, like every book I read, I held upside down.
Well, so what were one of the earlier books you remember reading and enjoying, or a series, Paul?
Series, I don't remember. I just, I had this one that I read probably when I was like about 10 at like my great aunt's house or something. It was about this 12-year-old kid. It was called Nathan's Run, and it probably wasn't a very good book, but I remember I read it like probably like 24 times that year.
Wow. For not a very good book, that's a lot of reading, Paul.
Well, I mean, I liked it then because it was about a 12-year-old and I was 10, so like he was awesome.
Of course.
He was like in juvenile hall, but like he didn't actually do it. He'd been framed and all that sort of, and he broke out, and I don't remember the plot even, but...
well, for me, I think a couple of the books I remember reading, and I'm wondering if you guys possibly read them, like if this was a school, a nationwide trying to get kids to read these different Newbery winning books. I remember one called Canyons, about some kid, and it involved running. Not the best one, but a cool book that I do remember from much younger was Hatchet. You guys remember Hatchet?
I knew you were going to say Hatchet. Every really? Kid fell in love with that
right?
book. Right?
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, they envisioned him shooting down those little pigeony things that were like the size of pears, and they were like, I bet those taste really good.
Yeah, like I remember the description of like, there was some point where he gets into the plane, right? And he like pulls out like the pack of like emergency food and stuff after he's been there for a while. And there's this description of him like, I think there was like some like powdered drink mix or something in there.
Yeah, it was like orange Kool-Aid.
Yeah, powder. Yeah. And he pours it in there and he just like savors it. And he's just like, it was the most amazingly sweet and delicious drink I've ever had. So he'd been like eating like fish and like all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember that and being really vivid. And reading the sequel, The River, where he like goes back because they want to see like how he survived and like write a book about it or something. I don't think many people read those.
I read it. You know that series has like four alternate timelines or something. Yeah, there's one Brian's Winter where it's like, what if he hadn't been saved at the end of Hatchet? Oh, and then there's another one where I think he goes back and decides to live his entire life there because he's like literally too cool for school now.
He's one with the earth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Another one was
like beat somebody up and like went into like all crazy war rage where he just tried to kill somebody like he was a wolf in high school.
I was gonna say another one was I think it was called like Shiloh. I remember being about some sort of big dog like a basset hound or something.
Remember that.
It was kind of sad. And then The Giver. You guys remember The Giver?
Oh, that was a great book.
That was a great book.
I don't know any of these. Sorry.
The Giver, Charlie, everybody should read The Giver. The Giver is...
It's a little sci-fi. It's a little learning lesson.
It's baby's first dystopia.
Yeah, baby's
first. I actually have watched the play of that, though, so I'm on top of that story.
There you go.
Okay.
The Giver. So I remember those are some of the ones I... And then, of course, I read all the Ghostwriter books back in those good times. And then I've talked about it before on the cast, like Lone Wolf, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
I actually tried to read the X-Wing books, but I think I read like the first two. I've actually always had a really hard time getting into sci-fi and fantasy books, despite my nerd tendencies. A lot of times I just can't get past the writing.
And you should read A Song of Ice and Fire, because now I'm trying to make everyone read those.
Is it really good?
It's so good.
Did you just recently start reading them?
I finished them like a month ago, and now I get to be like disappointed by everyone. The fact that the fifth book is never coming out.
Join the
club.
And the author will die before they're finished.
Keep up with his.
His blog? Yeah
his
I'm
blog.
Really
see how close.
I'll never finish. Chapters are getting moved to Winds of Winter every month.
So yeah,
which
that...
is good. It's closer.
That, and then Ender's Game, that was, actually I didn't read that until early college, but that was, that's still one of my favorite books, that and To Kill a Mockingbird.
As far as children's books, actually, what comes to mind is, Sideways Stories from Wayside School.
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
Such a great series.
It was funny, I was literally thinking about that book the other day, because we were watching Matilda, the movie.
Oh, that's a pretty good movie, actually.
It is, actually. And I remember the books and the Roald Dahl books. And I was like, and then I literally thought of that book. So I was like, oh, man, I really liked that one as a kid. But good question, Liz. We need to have a nerd book hour topic one of these
days. Can we do that? Because honestly, I think it would be really fun. Like we did.
I think we should.
What was the off-topic one we just did? TV shows?
Yeah.
Let's just do a book one next time. Game book club.
All right, let's take a short break now. And we're going to move into some Fangamer news. Gamer news. Let's see. First, some bigger news, I guess, is that we do know where we'll be for our PAX Prime booth. Hopefully, actually, it looks like according to the map, which we'll put in the show notes, we'll be right at the actual front of the line. And for all the folks listening at home, if you go to the PAX Prime website and bring up the floor plans, you can see that when you are coming in from the queue room, that we are going to be right to your right, Fangamer there. And then in front of you will be TM Games, Frozen Codebase, something called Kung Fu, which can't be anything but awesome, probably. And Tripwire. It's Kung Fu, Liz. Come on. Remember when Kung Fu was the coolest thing ever? I know we were eight.
I took Kung Fu. I can't even say it. I took it for quite a few years. It still can be uncool at times.
And so yeah, that's what we'll be. So come check us out. The other thing we wanted to bring up is that we are planning to have some sort of events at the booth, meaning if you show up between I think 1:30 and 3:30, for sure that's when, if you want to talk to Reed You know, meet him, get his signature, ask him to have your babies. That's the time to do that. If you want to talk to Camille about her figurines, her art, John, talk him about how much you love the different shirts he's made, ask him the story of the Dongcropolis.
He probably won't want to get asked that.
He probably won't, but I know John.
Yeah, he'll just get this big smile on his face and be like,
I don't really want to talk about that. Here's a pin.
Yeah, here's our greeter, Liz, who will talk your ear off about that.
So either that or he might just go off on a tangent and just keep talking about it. I've seen him do both.
Yes.
That's true. He's a wild card.
So for all of you guys who will see, so Charlie and Liz will be, you know, working hard at the booth. Liz will be doing a lot of the greeting. Charlie, I think you'll be back there running a lot of the booth. One of the cool things that we'll have this time is we have an inventory app that Ryan has actually built for us that will let people pay out using our iPhones and get actual printed out receipts that have the Fangamer logo on them, which he's really quite excited about. If you've been following our Twitter, he posted a couple pictures.
Are we going to be able to keep real time track of our inventory instead of having to look
for
5 minutes? Oh man, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so when people ask us, do you have an extra small blah blah blah, I can say beep boop beep boop boop boop. No, we don't.
You'd better
actually say
that. Are you
going to beep the people?
I will say that if I'm there to do it. But I just know we spent a lot of time looking around for different sizes of things last time. Or if you happen to be one of the people who couldn't make it to PAX and were at home and you bought something on the site and then you heard back from us saying, oops, we actually sold it to someone at PAX. That's to help avoid those sorts of situations. So that should be pretty cool. So come by, say hello. We'll have some sort of freebie pins, I believe, there to hand out. If you buy something, you get a cool tote bag. So it'll be good times. What else do we have for news? FanFest is wrapping up. Let's see. At this point, I think all of us have had our points go. Yeah, I remember watching each of you have your points. I think still to go. I think Ann K is going up tomorrow. And who else?
I thought she was on Thursday.
Or maybe Thursday. Wow, she's preparing very early then because she was in the chat earlier today testing
she's
out
on top
her
of
setup. Yeah, Anne's professional. She's a photographer. She doesn't leave anything to chance.
Photographer.
Let's see. Who else is going to be coming up? Well, actually, the BroBots there, the Tucson office, will be finishing it out on Friday. So rumor has it, though, that they are not quite caught up. So it's going to be interesting seeing how they get from the very first point all the way to the last in the course of this week with everything else they have going on down there. They just got in all the Reformat the Planet merch, a bunch of reprints, the Chrono Trigger stuff, and they're trying to get it all out the door before PAX, so it'll be interesting. But hopefully they'll get it out soon. But I think that's about it we have for Fangamer News, so we're going to cut that short and actually move into the show topic. Topic time. Let's do this. So we got the idea because we, you know, PAX is coming up here soon, and for some of you it may be your first time to PAX. Oddly enough, today I went to a local sandwich place by my house wearing my Mega 64 t-shirt that the guys from Mega 64 gave me for free so graciously, that I appreciate. And the guy who was serving me my sandwich was like, that's a really cool shirt. I was like, thanks. He goes, where'd you get it? I was like, oh, I was at PAX East and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, are you going to go to PAX Prime? I'm like, oh, yeah, PAX Prime, I'll be there. And he goes, oh, well, I'm going to, oh, this is my first time going. It's going to be a great time. I was like, oh, yeah, man, if you've never been to PAX, it'll be awesome. So I figured, wow, there's a lot of people who have still not gone to PAX despite this being its
fourth?
More than that.
Fifth?
Maybe even sixth? I think it's fifth.
I don't think it's sixth.
Because I've been to it at least three times, and before I went to it, there was two over in Bellevue. So I'm pretty sure we're on fifth or sixth. But again, we're not well informed. We don't know these things for sure. But there are other conventions besides PAX out there, but there's a lot of tips and things that people can share that make things easier. The one I started the forum thread off with, I think, was just make sure you bring some really comfortable shoes, because, man, you're going to be spending a lot of time standing. And I think just an overall idea of it's a marathon, not a sprint. Conserve your energy. You're going to need it throughout. But let's break it down to, okay, what's some stuff that people should do before they even, before convention's even going, before they leave for the show? Stuff to prep beforehand. Any ideas? What do you
guys? I have one. My first idea to tell people, both when you get to the, when you're packing up and when you get there, if PAX East is, and PAX Prime, the last one, set any precedent, the little clippers on the lanyards are really just terrible, and they will chew through your pass, and it will drop and fall to the ground. So find a better way to attach that to your person, because you will lose it, and you will not be able to buy another one. I've seen this happen to multiple people.
I've seen that other conventions too, and just honestly, bring your own lanyard. But then, you know, I have to wear
BYOL.
Well, yeah, I have to wear like an ID badge at work anyway, so I've already got one. But I mean, yeah, it's definitely best to bring one of your own.
I brought my do the same thing for work. I have a lanyard. My Snowwood hoodie lanyard is what I use. But if you have one, I agree. Bring your own, because the ones they have, she's right, kind of crappy. I mean, they're okay, but I haven't had any break on me like Liz's did, but...
Mine didn't actually break. I think maybe it broke on, like, the last day, but I saw it happen to a couple people in our party. I mean, you can't really blame NVIDIA for making terrible lanyards, or whoever the sponsor is for the year.
That's true. They don't have the engineers.
They spend so much time... I mean, they spend so much money paying for these things, and you're just suggesting, no, yeah, throw them away, get a better one.
Yeah, they spent so much money making green bags that look exactly like ours.
Jerks. Doing those fun games where everyone holds up big old long like zip code numbers so they can find their zip code friend and then go back to that booth and spin a wheel and get like $10 off NVIDIA products.
Yeah, because you know NVIDIA products are so frequently only $10.
I know, right? Okay, what other prepping tips? I know one for me that I always end up doing, which is I overpack. I bring too much stuff. You really, I think your average person, probably 90% of people out there, you can go into your suitcase and probably take out, I'd say, at least a fourth to maybe even half of the stuff you're bringing and leave it behind. You don't need four books. You don't need, you know, 30 pairs of pants. You don't need more than one pair of shoes. I mean, unless you're going to some sort of event where you actually have to dress up. One pair of shoes, people.
Well,
come on.
Even in that case, like with I Travel a Lot, I actually just bought myself a pair of like brown dressy but laceless shoes. So they're laceless, so I can take them off and on easily at the airport security checkpoint. They're brown, so I can wear them with jeans. I can wear them with khakis, and then I don't have to pack a spare pair of shoes in my bag at all.
Yeah, getting through airport security, man. I despise airport security. Even though I managed to get through large knives accidentally on a regular basis. I would say that when you go through airport security, what I like to do, this is my tip, before you even get in that security line, I take everything out of my pockets, my belt, everything, and just shove it in my bag, all of it. And then I get into the line, and then I whiz right through, because I'm not one of those people who is sitting at that little plastic bin, dumping the contents of their life into a plastic bin to go through the machine. Just put your bag on and go.
Yeah, I do the same thing, and I also suggest if you're traveling a lot, get one of those bags that folds open that you don't have to take the laptop out of. I have got one of those, and it is just absolutely phenomenal to not have to like unpack something.
Yeah, I have the Timbuktu one, the Commute 2.0. Whatever it is, the airplane approved. You can just open it up. But so pack specifically though, specific tips. What kind of stuff do you think people should bring? Like maybe video game related or game related.
If you want anything signed by any particular people, like bring a Sharpie, bring a Sanford product.
Well, Warren Spector will be there. So if you have one of his games, do you want signed? That's a good time. I know Ben ends up bringing like a random game for.
Yeah, that was brilliant. He just had Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball and just had whoever he could get to sign it.
Yeah. I think I've seen in, like, various of the PAX documentaries, people just bringing, like, Ataris and any random thing they want to those guys and just having him sign it. So having something unique but not too awkward to ship around with you is not a bad idea. I always suggest, you know, you're going to bring your luggage for the, you know, the plane ride, but also bring, like, one sort of, like, empty shoulder bag or backpack.
A purse.
A man purse, a merce, mm-hmm. if you will, to carry the swag that you'll get. Because you will get some swag bags, but they suck. They're not
awful. That great.
Unless you get one of our swag bags. Yeah. But you have to buy something to get one of those. And, you know, because ours is the reusable tote. But, you know, like a backpack. Other things to prep with, definitely want to get some sort of, like, food and water. Like, little food, like granola bars, power bars, you know, fruit chews, whatever, because there'll be a lot of times where your energy just starts to dip, your mood starts to go down, and you're not sure why. It's probably because you haven't eaten in the last 6 to 8 hours. You've been sitting there playing StarCraft 2 or whatever it is that, well, Blizzard's not even there this year, but, you know, you're there having a good time, and you don't want to go to the convention food because it's hot dogs for $12 or convention water for $8. You know, just have something that you can snack on until you can get out to a Subway or something else there and get some food.
Eat fresh.
I'm pretty sure there were like three Subways inside the convention
center. There are. There's three Subways. There's a Taco Del Mar.
But they're crowded. Don't rely on them. It's awful.
There's also another Subway a block over in any given direction. I looked. There were five of them on it. Pike's Place.
Most conventions, it's probably better to, like, walk a couple blocks away from the convention center and get lunch. You'll actually get food faster than waiting in line.
Honestly, go early in the morning and get a hoagie and then have it for the whole day.
Yeah, if you can keep it, you know, don't get something, you know, get like a cold cut trio. Don't get like a meatball. Get a meatball and carry that with you all day. That's gross.
Or go to
don't get a veggie delight. It'll wilt. It's like a sauna in those places.
Go to a bar near the convention center where they actually check IDs at the door because half the con attendees won't be able to get in.
Oh, that's a good one, actually. I didn't think about that.
Good point.
If you're old enough, take advantage of that.
Well, I took my cousin to not a game convention, but ASEN near Chicago this year, and honestly, the quietest place in the con was at the bar at the Hyatt across the street because they weren't letting anyone in without ID.
So you could sit there.
You could see the convention floor, but they couldn't come up there.
Yeah,
you could laugh at all the costumes from your little, like, Fortress of Solitude.
I was going to say, from my experience, though, PAX does have a pretty good over 21 crowd.
Yeah.
Things do get pretty, not necessarily rowdy, but you'll see a fair amount of people out. And plus, it's downtown Seattle on a pretty big weekend. There's usually just a lot of people, and that's kind of the fun thing, is you see these meshing of worlds of nerd to normal person, and then and you can just look anywhere. Just close your eyes, spin in a circle, and point, and you'll see a pack of nerds out there with their convention bags and their lanyards and everything. So one of the really good tips out from, I think Charlie, even Paul brought this up, and what was this, Mablim8, I think, brought this up, is this is one of the few times that you'll be in a situation where everyone is there for the exact same reason. And to take advantage of that, don't be shy.
That isn't a funeral.
don't be shy. I mean, everyone there is there as a gamer, like for PAX, and you'll strike up a conversation in line. People are wearing fun, weird shirts and stuff. Like, oh, that's a cool shirt you have on. Are you a big fan of that game? It really won't be hard to get a conversation going. I've met some pretty cool people waiting in line at PAX. But actually, before we skip ahead to that sort of thing, is there any other kind of preparatory things before people leave to the show that people think would be a good idea to prepare for?
Well, just planning for hotels and flights and everything. Book early. So it's too late for PAX this year, obviously.
Check the schedule so you know what you're actually doing for the entire of the convention.
Yeah, I was going to say, the schedule is up, but like I think that one year I did the really hardcore and planned everything out. My iPhone told me when stuff was coming, and we really ran myself ragged. I think really choose like your top couple things, like three things each day you really, really want to do. And make those your goal. Like, make sure I hit those three things. And then just kind of let things evolve naturally and find things that are interesting along the way. Because maybe you'll get tired and you'll sit down in the sumo lounge with a handhelds playing DSs, and you'll meet some people who have Pokemons, and they want to Pokemon battle you, and you sit there and you make a new friend for the next 3 hours Pokemon battling.
Yeah, you absolutely don't want to schedule something for every hour of the day, because you will just burn yourself out.
Yeah, and don't forget to definitely give yourself time for the bare necessities of going to the bathroom, getting some food, getting away from the show for some quiet. The little sumo, the handheld lounges are pretty good for that. Like, just kind of lay down and get some quiet.
You mean
for
the beanbags?
Yeah, they call it. Yeah.
Good luck finding one. They're easily like covered up by 11 a.m. by people.
They're not that bad. You can usually go by and find, from my experience, at least at PAX Prime.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's two floors of them. There's two floors. So
at PAX East, they were always be nerded.
Yeah, I do like those sumo things. And then another thing for prep. I would definitely suggest, especially for PAX, bring your DS. I don't know why you wouldn't, but if for some reason you're thinking, do I bring my PSP or do I bring my DS? Bring your DS. I think I still have yet to see more than like a handful of PSPs at PAX. I'm sure people have them. They just don't bring them to PAX, I find. Most people do the DS. What's kind of cool is you can check out games there, I find. You can actually go to a little like handheld checkout lounge, and I don't know what they take from you, maybe like your ID or something, and you can
usually they take your ID as your collateral.
Yeah, and I know that like Pink Gorilla partners with Penny Arcade to like do like a game library where you can basically check out almost any game for like up to an hour, and then get you and your friends to
it
go
depends
out
on the system.
Yeah, like if there's a lot of people who want to be playing that system and there's not that many of that system, like what is that, Steel Battalion? Yeah, you probably won't be able to take the Steel Battalion for more than 15 minutes, but if it's, you know, something like an Xbox 360 you want to play with your friends, you probably do that. So, okay, so let's talk about the actual getting to the convention. What are some pro tips for getting the most bang for your buck at the con?
Well, bring bucks first. Don't trust that everyone will take credit cards. Make sure you have a good supply of cash on you going in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Kay had a good tip of, you know where the nearest kind of convenience stores or like pharmacies are that have you go in there and you buy something and then you ask for cash back for like $20, and that's a quick ATM without necessarily the same sort of surcharge. Well, I mean, you have to buy something, but at least you're getting something for your $250 as opposed to just a fee.
Well, and even if you're okay paying the fee, like I've been to conventions where the ATMs just ran out of money. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially nearby downtown. That has happened to me many times before. So, yeah, bring cash. I'd say for PAX, if people are wondering, why would I bring money? To buy stuff from us. But there are
other people.
There is a lot of pretty cool stuff to buy at PAX, I'll have to say. Like, I got the Castle Crashers figurines there. I got some pretty cool t-shirts from various groups there. So there's definitely, stuff to bring. Another tip I'd say is if you're going to buy something, though, and you know it's going to be at the show, get it day one, especially if you want a specific size in something. If you're not a large, an extra large sort of person, you want something anything less than that, you should definitely buy things day one. That's always been my pro tip. It will be sold out usually by day two or definitely by Sunday. But on the converse of that is that you have something like everyone gets larges on their free stuff. If you happen to be a large, you can get free shirts up the yin yang. You just wait around and then, you can look around. They throw t-shirts out for free all the time. I think we even got one in the swag bags that PAX gave out at PAX East, right? Like, they gave us, like, some swag bag, and it had, like, an orange t-shirt in there that I've got, like, sitting in a corner because it's a large, and it's orange, and I'm not going to wear it. But, what are some other kind of tips you guys have for at the show, maybe something having to do with lines, other sorts of etiquette?
Please silence your cell phone during panels.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
If it's an AT&T phone, you won't have to worry about that.
And also, like, silence your DS, because seriously, even if you have the volume turned down really low, we can still hear it.
Yes. Let's see what else. Oh, kind of general health things. Like, I think, like, people worry about getting sick at conventions a lot because there's so many people, and that's definitely a contributing factor to getting sick. But to be honest, the biggest factor to people getting sick at conventions is more the you're running yourself ragged for 3 days straight, not getting enough sleep, not eating well, more than anything else.
And hopefully you are actually taking the time to bathe every day. I mean, it's nerds. Some of them might not be all that into the hygiene thing, but
yeah, Sunday, where everybody else is sick. In the queue room, it'll get a little ripe waiting for the last round of the Omegathon, that's for sure.
And I will say seriously, like, yeah, I know you're there, you're trying to have fun, but it is absolutely worth it to get a full night's sleep every night.
Yes, it totally is.
You're all like, oh, I'm going to stay up till 6 a.m., but then you, like, the next 6 hours of the day, the next morning, is you're pretty much wasted because you're not awake, so...
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I've seen many people who they burn out day one, and then day two, when there's tons of awesome stuff happening, because that's really when the show hits its stride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's they're too tired. They're back at the hotel room sleeping until like noon. Yeah, you miss out on a lot of good stuff that way. But another kind of good tip is if you have a full day pass for the event, Sunday is usually or the last day of the convention, where there may not be a lot of stuff to buy. That's a good day to take more time to enjoy something. Like, there won't usually be as long of lines for things. If you wanted to kind of chat with like somebody, like I got to talk to some of the developers on games on Sundays because they had just not as many people to demo to, and so you get a little more FaceTime with people, which is fun. And the lines for things are usually much shorter, so that's a good time. And PAX is taking advantage of Twitter and doing their whole PAX Lines Twitter account, where if you want to go to an event, but you're wondering if there's not going to be any room, should you bother even lining up? They'll let you know, hey, there's 50 spots left in line, 10 spots, etc. Which is great, because if you have to walk all the way out to Benin Royale Hall, 10-minute walk from the convention hall, and you just get there and there's no spots left, that would be a little sad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, what else you guys got? Any other good tips for surviving the days of the convention? Any kind of tips for getting free swag? Or
Just be nice to people and don't think you're that funny, because you never are. Like, especially at panels, when people go up to ask questions, and that's the worst part of panels, is when people get up there and just, like, throw a joke, and it bombs, and everybody's like, just ask your question, just be a human being, and that's the way to people's heart.
Liz, it almost sounds like you have personal experience with meeting a famous convention nerd and how to properly respond.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they would not remember this, but I got to meet Gabe and Tycho at a Comic-Con, like, years and years ago. I couldn't have been older than, like, 16, and I'm 23 now, so it was a long time ago, but it was just a small Comic-Con, and they were going up, and everybody who walked up got a free little drawing from them, and you could say, who's your favorite character? So I went up to Gabe, and I said I liked Charles, the Mac guy. And so he did a lot of he did a drawing of Charles for me. And
even as a youth into the Apple products.
I just like Charles' general gimmick, but I said to him, I was like, I'm guessing you don't get a lot of people coming up and asking for that, and they kind of shook their heads, and I said, do you get a lot of people for the fruit? And Gabe was like, actually, that's just what I draw when people don't say anything. But it was awkward. I was like, I love your guys, your comic. The writing is so good. And, like, Gabe, who I know has the anxiety problems, was probably, like, jittery out of his skin back then. But I figured he was judging me from afar.
I was going to say, like, that's before they had antidepressants, so they probably were having a real rough time of it. But
yeah.
On the same line of, like, how can you interact with maybe someone who you might consider famous and keep her cool? Charlie, I know that you've talked to a lot of these kind of people, like the Proto Men, and who else have you made friends with at various conventions?
Well, let's see. I did make friends with the Nerdy Show guys, although that was mostly through just emails. And then whenever I got over there, they were like, you know, old friends and just saying hi. But yeah, the Proto Men, I just walked up and talked to them for a little bit, and just actually saw them last night again for like the fourth time this year. I'm going to see them again in a couple weeks. To the point now where we just talk and shoot pool before the show and all that.
So what's your pro tip? How to keep your cool And that, like, so when you first went to approach the Proto Man, they didn't know who you were, right?
Right.
Okay, so just, what do you do? How do you present that situation?
Yeah, it's just a matter of not geeking out too much. I mean, they get that too much. Constantly. Everybody's like, you're the word, no matter who you're talking to, you just go up there and say, oh, the work you do is so awesome, this, that, and the other. They hear that all the time. It's not to say that you shouldn't show some respect for their work, because they do all that work in it. But the minor details, how was this tour going? You're going on, you've been doing this work, and how's that going? Just so asking about how they
present something where you had to do a little more thought into it, or you maybe had to look at something on their blog or something that you think that's a little more thoughtful. Not your, maybe write up a list of like 15 questions and you just ask the first 14 and whatever you got to the end. That's probably
and
maybe.
It's just generally treating them as people. How would you approach anybody else that you haven't known before? They just seem like someone that you've maybe seen a couple times and you're like, oh, that'd be a pretty cool friend to have. Let me just go strike up a conversation, and don't dwell too much on what they've already done. Yeah, they're already famous, and that's what everybody else is already going to talk about them, talk about with them.
All right. I know that a friend of mine, this is a true story, he came to PAX like 2 years ago, and he has a big, big crush on Felicia Day, and she was there. So he got in line.
Who's that again?
Felicia Day from the Guild and Buffy and Sing Along Blog, everything. So
just asking for the fans, Garrett.
Yeah, right. Not for Liz.
Yeah. I'm on top of everything.
You're well informed, Liz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so.
So the anyway, he's in line, waiting to see Felicia Day. And as people who have gone to conventions know, when there's someone in line to get something, a line just tends to form, even if people don't know what they're in line for. So he gets in line for a while, and he's got the intent of, he really wants a picture of him and her. So he's got his BlackBerry, and another friend of his was there to take the picture for him. So he was prepared. He didn't want to be too weird. So he finally gets up to meet her after waiting for like 10 or 15 minutes. And introduces himself, you know, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a big fan of yours, you know, the usual kind of. She's like, oh, yeah, she's being real cordial. She's like, do you mind if I get a picture with you? And she's like, oh, of course. So they do the, you know, put your arm kind of around each other, like your best friend sort of pose, and make this nice little smile. And, you know, his friend's got his BlackBerry, but apparently they neglected to kind of show his friend how to use the BlackBerry before him. So he's there fiddling around with the controls for probably a good solid minute. And when you have your arm around someone like Felicia Day and you're a big nerd for a full minute, you start sweating profusely. Your big grin becomes kind of an awkward grin. And she probably gets a little uncomfortable after all that as you guys make a little small talk about how your friend's incompetent and can't use camera. So they're standing there. He finally gets the picture taken. And you see the picture, and they both have, like, this, like, instead of these really happy, like, oh, I get to meet Felicia Day, they're both, like, oh, awkward face, kind of half grin, please, we don't want to be here picture anymore. And he walks away. He was so excited still to meet her, but the picture didn't really come out that well. And his friend ends up telling him, he goes, well, I wanted you to know, I'm sorry, I didn't really know how to work the BlackBerry. And he goes, ah, I'm just kidding, I knew how to do it. I just wanted to see you guys, see how long you could stand there with Felicia Day's arm around you.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, are you serious? And he goes, that was actually pretty awesome. Good job. And then I high-fived and went on with the day. So it was the picture looks terrible. But
why didn't he surreptitiously take a first picture?
Because guys aren't always doing things in the best interest of their friends. Sometimes they do things that are the best interest of what'll be funny.
Well, you could do both. You could multitask. There weren't two.
It's really what's going to be the funniest. So.
All right.
Top of that list. Okay.
Related to that, actually, is another tip that, as far as talking to people like that, is whenever they have this line right there, that's not the time to really get to know somebody, because there's other people behind you that also want to do the same.
Yeah, that's very true. They also want to
get their pictures and everything. So. Look for them in other places, or whenever their booth is absolutely empty. That's a good time to go talk to them, because you know where they are. You know that that's what they're there for, but you don't have a bunch of people waiting behind you. Or if you see them at the bar, whenever they – any time that doesn't look like they're doing anything in particular, like eating or something, don't disturb them. But
yeah, don't like interrupt them though if they're like talking to someone else.
Right. Oftentimes it's just a matter of me seeing something like, oh man, I want to talk to that person. No, but they're talking to somebody. So I'll go make a round, check out everything else, come back and see if they're available yet. And it's kind of it's kind of weird if somebody knows that you're walking around waiting for a chance when they're going to be alone and you have
a moment. Chances are it's so busy, but they're probably not going to notice.
Right, and it's just that's what you have to do.
So yeah. don't look unique if you're going to use this strategy.
And yeah, for goodness sakes, say something whenever you get up there. Probably the reason why I actually just buckle down and talk to people now whenever I see somebody like that I actually want to meet is because many years ago I went to see the Five Iron Frenzy last show ever, and they had a big meet and greet the next day. So I went down to the place and sat in this coffee shop, and I was there several hours before the actual meet and greet was supposed to start. And you could see everybody getting ready. Reese's mom was Reese Roper is the lead singer, and his mom was going around putting brownies on the tables and stuff like that. And at some point, Reese just kind of sat there at this table right next to me. And I just sat there and had a book in my lap and just waited. And eventually somebody came over and started talking. And by the time they were done.
This is a sad story. This isn't you overcoming your fear and.
No, this is me just watching as everybody else came up, and I was sitting behind him, watching him deal with this entire crowd. And eventually I got up, and all I could manage was just need a picture, man. And somebody else took the picture, and I just kind of stumbled off in kind of a depressed
stupor.
why did I not do something?
Well, hey, so after that, you're friends with the Proto Man, though.
Right, exactly. I obviously learned something from
you. Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, if it has an endearing end, I get behind that. Right. That's good. I thought of a tip, but I totally forgot it. Well, water bottle. Bring a water bottle. I know you can't bring water onto a plane, but you can bring an empty bottle. There's usually water fountains all over the convention hall, and the convention water, I'm actually serious. They have convention hall water, like in bottles that say Washington State Convention brand water, and they're like $3. So just bring a water bottle, fill it up at the water fountain, and save yourself, you know, several amounts of money. What other tips? Oh, convention, or not convention, the show, the actual concerts. Any tips for braving concerts at the end, how to have enough energy to stay up for the third encore of Jonathan Coulton going into 4 a.m.? What do you guys got? Any concert tips?
I've never had the energy to stay up for those.
And is that because you drank heavily at lunchtime? Because that's another pro tip I learned the hard way. Don't drink beer at lunch during a convention. It never will end well.
Yeah, that's why you drink like Jaeger bombs at lunch.
Oh,
no. Gotta get the energy. Gotta get the Jaeger heart pumping.
What did you, you say, Charlie? Like, or Paul?
I was going to say, really don't drink until like you're almost ready to go to bed at one of these conventions, because you don't want to drink and then be just walking around all day.
Yeah, it's that is tough. You want to do especially convention on hard drink mode.
Water too. You really don't want to dehydrate yourself at one of these conventions.
We went up to a Gordon Beer on top of Pacific Place after on Saturdays, usually at the con, and get the ginormous like boot size of beer and drink one of those down with lunch, and then try and go back to the convention hall and do anything but nap. Never works out in the end. But as for concerts, if you're going to go to the concert, my biggest tip would be know that you're going to go to the concert and then plan for it. So you need to go, I would say take a nap to be serious. Like go back to your hotel room, take like a little like 45-minute hour nap. Definitely bring like some snacks, some things to like eat, keep your energy up while you're waiting for the show. Bring your DS, because a lot of the times they'll be doing sound checks and you'll be just hanging out waiting, and you can sit there playing with other people while you wait for the show to start.
And water.
Water, definitely.
I mean, you already covered that, but more so in a concert where you're going to be moving around, and if you don't want to lose your spot while you're in the middle of this crowd, you're pretty close to the stage and you're all of a sudden you're thirsty.
Your mouth is so dry from the ecstasy.
That too. So Charlie, it sounds like you're the kind of guy who does make it to the front of the crowd though.
Well, this is more experience from just being at concerts in general.
Okay, well, no, that still works. So like, what do you have any tips of how do you get to the front of the crowd?
Get there early. That's the only thing. Or like be a jerk and push people out the way, but that's not PAX.
That is not the PAX.
And in fact, world. Really PAX concerts are at least the ones that I went to at East. I don't know. I can't say for Prime because I didn't actually attend any at Prime. But they're so concert light that it's that a lot of the my concert tips wouldn't really apply because nobody's jumping. They're jumping around in the middle, but there's not so much of the mosh pitting, and
you
don't have to worry about people crushing you towards the front.
There's really no dancing. You might not even see swaying out of the crowd. You'll see a lot of people anytime they want them to put their DSs or cell phones in the air and wave them back and forth. That's about the extent of the PAX audience's participation in those.
They're so polite. They're just sitting there and listening politely. Yeah. And that's
okay. So let's start wrapping up here. Any last minute tips here? Ways to stay healthy? Things to do on the way home to prepare yourself? Any stuff? What do you got, Paul?
As people brought up, just shower.
Shower. If you learn anything from this cast that Paul was able to teach you, please shower. He would personally take that as a favor to him.
I would also personally take as a favor, and I put this in my forum post, like, your hotel room is not your parents' basement. There are people with rooms nearby, and not all of them are going to the convention. Please do not scream at the top of your lungs at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, there's every year in PAX Prime, there's always some hotel party that ends up in sorrow and tragedy, usually police and so forth.
But I'm not even talking parties. I'm talking like just people like running and like four people running down the hall screaming at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that too. I think we actually at PAX East got in trouble for that a couple times. We were, John and Reed talk a little loud, a little bit. All right. Any other last tips?
Yes. If you want to, the best way to survive an entire convention is to get a booth, so you have a place to return to.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot at Nerdapalooza because it's pretty much constant. Like that, the entire thing is just a constant nerd concert for 2 full days, for like 12 or 13 hours at a time. So you'll get worn out. You can go sit down at your booth and sell things to people, and then get up and go have a good time again and leave your designer friend to watch the booth while you go off and have fun.
All right, Liz, any last tips for the audience?
Honestly, I think you guys got it all pretty covered. I look forward to taking some of these tips into my own hands and trying them out.
Yeah, I think my last and oldest reiterate is it's a marathon, not a sprint. You really conserve that energy. Don't go nuts. I mean, as soon as you get there, it looks all kinds of bells and whistles, fun things to do. There's a lot of things that you can do at PAX where you're still enjoying it, but you're not burning lots of energy. Like playing, go down to the board game room or the sumo lounge or wait in a line and just sit there.
That's
don't be
very
that
true.
Guy where you get in line and you just stand the whole time because you just always stand in lines. So just sit. The odds are you'll be there for at least 10 or 15 minutes, and when it's time to stand. Because that's the nice thing about being in a convention full of nerds. Everybody wants to sit, and then they will. So don't be that guy. That's my tip. All right, guys. We'll take a brief break here, and we'll close up the show. Let's close out this show. I'd like to thank Charlie for joining us and Paul. Paul, who's phoning in from a hotel, so he's
on short notice.
On short notice, too. So thank you both for joining us again.
You no problem.
Always have.
And I think both of you will be at PAX, so if people want to come by and say hello, they can. We're also going to definitely be doing some sort of PAX Prime podcast, probably not live from the show floor. Probably later back at the hotel room. But We will do it this time, Liz. We will be in the same room. We will record together. We have not yet met that goal. We will. So let's close out the show then. Liz, let the people know how they can give us feedback on the show, contact us, and participate in the show.
Well, if you would like to give feedback to me, you can do that via Twitter on twitter.com/fangamer. If you want to give feedback to Charlie, you can give it to him on Facebook, because he's our Facebook dude. So go to facebook.com and search for Fangamer as well. YouTube, are we Fangamer?
Net.
That's on YouTube. We always have fun videos up there. I think we recently uploaded John doing some sketchbook stuff.
Yeah, all three parts.
Mm-hmm. Office cams, go to ustream.tv and watch us Fridays at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Always a party, always a good time. Let me think if you want to email us any feedback, email it to podcast@fangamer.com. And last, but as always, never the least, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, we are eternally grateful.
Yes, we definitely appreciate the feedback, as always. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/Adacron. Charlie, are you a Twitter guy? I don't think so.
I have never actually signed up on Twitter.
I don't think so. Paul, are you a Twitter fan? No?
I've got a Twitter account, but it's pretty much for following other people and replying to them. So don't expect anything significant from me if you follow me.
Okay. Well, do you want to give it out then? Don't have to.
Yeah, it's just Bogard PD. So.
Okay. Well, there you go. If you want to follow Paul and see where he's at this week in the world.
Oh no, I don't post that.
Oh, okay. Well, he won't tell you then. You can't even ask. Too bad.
All from parts unknown.
Very mysterious. All right, guys. Well, that's show number 35. Join us next week from our hopefully live from PAX podcast. Signing off for Charlie, Paul, and Liz. Say adios, folks.
This episode has been brought to you by Little Debbie chocolate chip snap cakes and Pepsi throwback. Also by the letter Y.